Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And if you were waking up on this day in 1952, as a resident of Tucson, Arizona, it would be the last day without television. Four stations made their debut on April 14th in 1952 in Tucson. Now, if you're not a, what do you call it, a boob tube? And somebody that sits around and watches TV all day, there's some great things going on in Southern Arizona as we focus on Douglas all month long. As our staycation winner, we'll be traveling to the Gadsden Hotel next weekend. There is hummingbird banding at Casa de San Pedro Bed and Breakfast this week, and at the San Pedro River Riparian Preserve. 10 species of hummingbird use that green corridor of the San Pedro River as their guide, migrating north and south. You can go to sabo.org. That is the Southern Arizona Bird Observatory. Hummingbirds aren't your thing. Maybe you like astronomy. The Patterson Observatory, what they call Sierra Vista's best kept secret, has their UA family date going on today, and once a month they have a public night. It's the first Thursday next to quarter moon, so you've actually missed it. That was this Thursday, but May 9th is your next public observatory. But if you want to really get into astronomy, the Huachuca Astronomy Club has a very busy 2019 schedule. They do at least 7 events a month. We'll have the Douglas Days event coordinator on later this month. Douglas Days will be at the beginning of May, but they're actually having their Miss Douglas Days pageant tonight. You know, you got to have the pageant before the parade because you got to know who the queen is. And that pageant's going on tonight at Douglas. And we'll be talking all things Southern Arizona throughout the rest of the month, covering Douglas. We focus whatever our staycation destination is all month long very heavily so that all listeners of Arizona can get really educated and aware of all things that are in different parts of the state. It's a great state with lots to do. If you're looking to go maybe take the little ones out for a zoo, the Wildlife Zoo and Aquarium and Safari Park in Waddell was listed by Reader's Digest as the top zoo in Arizona. Main reasons were 600 species, 6,000 animals, and it's got a baby zoo animal nursery. And this one really puzzled me. A Dragon World exhibit? You can have a zoo on fictitious animals? That one I hadn't figured out, but it is a great zoo. I haven't been to the Phoenix Zoo in years, but this
Phoenix
one's closest
awesome.
To our house.
And that one's
so when
rural.
We go to the zoo, we always go to the one in Waddell.
You know what I'm ashamed of? I live and run behind the zoo for, 20 years in the neighborhood. I have never been inside the zoo. Never.
Some would say you belong there, Gary.
quite a few family members say the same thing.
You better be nice to Gary.
Yeah, that's right. As long as I get bananas in the monkey cage, I'm good.
He walked into that one. He gave that one to me. And for boaters at Lake Pleasant, the Agua Fria Arm is open. It's a little earlier than usual. They always close it for the bald eagle nesting, but the boat part of it, so on the water, you can access the Agua Fria. But today, I don't know what it was that brought up this topic. It might have been the True West Magazine article, Trains, Rails, and Automobiles. Might have been the article in the Wall Street Journal about them trying to rework the train routes in St. Louis and Kansas City. But I came into the office one day and I said, guys, we've got to do a story on trains. And everybody loved it. And so we're thinking, all right, who are we going to find to do this? Williams, the first Saturday of the month, they fire up their old steam engine locomotive for people to go up there and enjoy. And we thought, well, we've just got to spend a Saturday talking trains. So we brought Dr. Dean from Grand Canyon. Is it Grand Canyon? Grand Canyon University. I cannot hear you. Is it? We're all having headset problems this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. There he is, Dr. Dean.
Good to be here again.
History professor from Grand Canyon University, and you've brought your apprentice in, Nicole Rodriguez, senior, majors in public history. Did a lot of the research and typing. When I got this, I thought, man, Dr. Dean must have no college classes this year or something. He's got way too much time to put all this together.
Well, I thought, I never knew he loved trains so much. Roman and I sat and read the outline yesterday afternoon going, wow, I didn't know that. This is so cool. But we're going to have to leave it to Dr. Dean to give us an hour lesson.
Sure. Well, you know, trains are always a very fascinating thing. And since a little boy, you know, those big locomotives and the sound and the rumbles and stuff, you know. So I've always liked trains. My dad liked trains. And so trains are always kind of a big thing. And as a professor of history, talking about American history, trains are one of the most important, the railroads, one of the most important economic engines of the late 19th century. Nothing would have happened. We would not be the great country that we are, coast to coast, without the Transcontinental Railroad and the railroads and stuff. So it's a huge deal, and so I'm happy to talk about railroads.
Well, you've got a great outline, and I'm just going to turn it over to you and just sit here and absorb.
Okay. Well, you know, the main thing that I kind of want to start with is to talk a little bit about context. As I mentioned, the Transcontinental Railroad is a very important issue, and it's an important achievement for the United States because it solves a big problem, East and West. It ties the country together in a way that we hadn't thought of before. It's also a huge economic engine in terms of what it does in terms of our economy, in terms of taking raw materials from the West, mines, agriculture, and sending that stuff back East to be processed or to feed the appetite of the industrializing East, where it's turned into products, and then those products are brought out to the West to be sold to miners and farmers and homesteaders and all those kind of things. And so this relationship ends up creating more people coming to the West. As they come to the West, they produce more from the West. They send that stuff back. They need more things made to be brought back out to the West. That creates more jobs not just in agriculture and mining, but now you need hotels and restaurants and teachers and churches and politicians and government, and you start getting more and more jobs. The railroads start to expand, more jobs in the railroads. It's a huge economic engine that you cannot ignore, and without it, we don't have that big country thing. And, of course, into Arizona, Arizona's a microcosm of all the different issues that go on with the development of the railroad, all happen right here in Arizona. And so it's a good way to kind of look at one little area and talk about the big things. Like, for example, North and South. Arizona was in a controversy of being Confederate or Union in the Civil War era, and the railroad is part of that because if the railroad terminates in the East, in the South, then the South gets the economic benefit. Terminates in the North, then they get it. So Congress, for 10 years, is arguing over where this Transcontinental Railroad is going to start. And they can't figure it out. In fact, the Civil War splits Congress, the Southerners go away, and the remainders in Congress, the Republicans there, then voted the Transcontinental Railroad Act and said, let's start it in St. Louis and go right across the middle. And so the North gets the benefit of it, and Southern Arizona doesn't get its railroad until a little bit later on. I see you have a question coming.
No, I'm just fascinated, and there's so many things that going through your list here that just jump out. But I know I'm going to derail your train of thought if I interject, and I don't want to be jumping all over the place. Let's stay in a chronological time frame here.
Okay. So once the Congress decided that they were going to build a railroad east and west, the Transcontinental Railroad goes and understand how Congress is financing this. They have lots of land in the United States that they've acquired or are managing. So they give the railroads land, and they say somewhere in this stretch of land, that's width of land going east-west, build your railroad. Anywhere you're not going to build a railroad, to finance it, you can lease the land to somebody or sell the land around it in order to finance the railroads, the materials, and the labor. And then anything else you get to keep as profit. So the railroads use this to basically create little railroad towns or to sell off to farmers or ranchers or whatnot or to lease that land, and they create a lot of money. So you can imagine there's a lot of corruption going on because everybody wants – everybody wants to get in on this, And so the railroads would sometimes even promise, hey, we'll build a railroad over this way, start leasing off the land, collect the money, and then go, you know, the rocks are too hard there, the mountain's too high. Sorry, we're going to go this direction over here. And people got, you know, taken for some of that. Now, I don't want to make the railroad sound out terrible in all cases, but it was a time of speculation. It was really unregulated, and it was not just endeavor to build the railroad, but it was also this make money. And so it's also letting other people make money, miners, farmers, hotel people, restaurants, post, you know, everything. So it's just this huge economic engine, and that creates opportunity, but also creates a few bad actors.
One of the things I enjoy about this job is the manufacturing. When we get to go see Pella's plant, when we get to go see Belgar, when we get to go into some place that they're creating these American-made products, I would have loved to stepped into a 1850s locomotive building shop and seen that.
The massive construction of
these gigantic
industrial
machines.
The
amount of metal with no phones, no internet.
Well, just the manufacturing marvel of machining all the things that go into creating a locomotive, and then the train cars and all that stuff is just amazing. But then there's also the maintenance of them, and there's how the technologies of switching them. Because when they build a railroad, they only build one direction. They build one track. And so every so often, they have to take a train going east to west. They have to put a switch on it to move it to the side so a train coming west to east can go by. And so that all that technology, all that planning, all that scheduling, all, again, creates more technologies. The telegraph helps us understand time zones. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that all come about because of the railroad that you would have never gotten without.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation on trains here with Dr. Dean from Grand Canyon University here at Rosie on the House.